sure that there were more than four downs run. So they may have run five downs.
Instead of the game being over, it appears that the Redskins get the fifth down.
And the cat is elusive. He's walking. He's walking to the three. He's at the two. Fielding the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown.
Snap. Placement. Kick by Hartley. And it is. It is good. It's good. It's good. Pigs have flown. Hell is frozen over. The Saints are on their way to the Super Bowl.
All right, all right. Welcome to the fifth down. I'm the captain.
I'm Tootsie.
All right, week 15 is finally in the books on this lovely Tuesday evening.
Yay, COVID. So we're just watching the football team lose to the Eagles and wrap it up here.
Yeah, 27-17 will be the final in that game. So as COVID just basically decimated
the league,
many teams in the league, it was very hard to figure out any fantasy stats, any pickems. It was just not.
It was a brutal week. If this was your quarterfinal week in the fantasy playoffs,
it was a rough one.
There's a good chance you got screwed somewhere along the way. I don't know where.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna start off with Thursday night. Chiefs over the Chargers, 34-28. That was a great game. Colts beat the Patriots, 27-17. Bills over the Panthers, 31-14. Lions just continue to.
It's two in a row.
They're stringing together wins, and they're playing themselves out of a first overall pick. So whatever. 30-12 over the Cardinals. The Cardinals now are they're in danger of dropping out of those first two seeds. Dolphins 31 over the Jets 24. Again, the Jets team looking better and better every week. Cowboys 21 over the Giants 6. That game was actually a lot closer than the score indicates. Steelers 19 over the Titans 13. If you had the Steelers kicker, you're doing really well in fantasy football. Texans over the Jaguars 30-16. Bengals 15 over the Broncos 10. 49ers beat the Falcons. Breaks off the Falcons 31-13. Packers over the Ravens in another nail-biting finisher 31-30. Raiders over the Browns 16-14. Vikings 17 over the Bears 9 times.
Did you do with the Rams?
The Rams beat the Seahawks 20-10, and the Eagles just topped the football team at 27-17.
And a game of the week, Saints over the Bucks 9-0.
9-0.
9-0.
In a game that had more punts than first downs.
Yes. Yes.
I'm saying sure. That I'm not 100% sure we actually
can. No, answer. It seems to be the truth. I mean, the stats aren't really there, but we're just going to go with what we.
Yeah, so I think we'll follow the format we did last week. We'll just go through our picks and then just kind of talk about it. We're both 2-2. Boo.
All right, so I had New England over Indy, Tennessee over Pittsburgh. Cincinnati over Denver and Seattle over the Rams, which puts me at a total of 2-2 for the week, 33-23 overall.
I had Vegas over Cleveland, Jacksonville over Houston, football team over Philly, and Minnesota over Chicago, 2-2, 29-27. So, Captain's still a little bit better at football.
All right.
He actually won his fantasy matchup this week. Yeah, why not? So I was sitting with Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook, James Robinson, Justin Jefferson, Hunter Renfro. I forgot to start a tight end because Darren Waller wasn't playing, and I'm a bad fantasy manager. Josh Jacobs in my flex, the football team defense, and Greg Joseph for the kicker. Ended up with about 80 points.
No. 78.03. Let's call it what it is.
Yes,
quit
yes.
trying to round up and make yourself seem better.
And for those of you who question the size, it is we're doing non-PPR. There's no PPR.
Okay, so I had Burrow as my QB, Mixon running back, Deontay Foreman running back, Jamar Chase, Cooper Kupp, Hunter Henry, Darrell Henderson, New England's defense, and
Matt Gay,
kicker for the Rams. I finished with a grand total of 96.73 points for those who keep a score. I did better this week than Tootsie, but he's still leading the fantasy grouping of 3-1. So there you have it.
I'm better at fantasy. But right, okay.
Let's bust into some games.
So, yeah, busting into the games. What to start? You know what?
Well, let's just start with the Thursday night game, because that one was a good one.
That
man.
Was actually that was, really good. Yeah, that was very good.
You scrolled right past it.
Did I?
Yeah, that was the Chiefs over the Chargers. Yeah, game one of the OT. Both teams. I mean,
hey, what can you say?
These teams actually didn't get hit by COVID at this point in time.
No,
they started testing positive after the game, which really messes them up for this week, which is my first week of fantasy playoffs. So I'm already down a quarterback, I believe. So, and a running back.
Yeah, Elhire is out.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's a really good game. Bought it into OT. Chargers came back in the end to tie it up, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
scored 14 points there in the fourth quarter. Able to bring it into OT, and then Chiefs win the toss, Chiefs go down, Chiefs score.
Yeah, which is weird because now a lot of people are sitting there calling for a change in the overtime rules, which makes zero sense at all because
I disagree. That just
yeah, but I mean now it's because it affected the Chargers, now we want to make a run for it. Oh, because it affected the Chiefs, now we want to make a run for it. It's the same thing after when they changed the rules the first time after the Saints beat the Vikings in the NFC Championship game way back in 2009.
Yeah.
Oh, that was actually 2008 when they did that game.
Yeah, 2008.
No, it was 2009. So January 2009. Saints beat the Vikings in OT, went down, kicked the field goal, won the game. And then, you know, now they want to change it because, oh, it's not fair. Honestly, I don't like the way the NFL overtime works. I never did.
I don't like it either, but I'm not sure what you do.
I think
each going team back gets a shot from the 25.
Yeah, I think going college rule would be the best way to go. And however many you got, or play a 10-minute quarter and just play the full 10 minutes. And however it falls, it falls. You know?
I don't dislike that full 10 minutes. You know, I mean, I think that's not a bad idea.
The only thing that can really mess up would be maybe extra injuries. That you're not
well,
really,
I mean, that's the idea of the way they did the overtime. Everything in the NFL now is designed to minimize the chance of injury. Right. So that's why they changed the overtime rules to you score a touchdown, it's over with.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that's necessarily fair because if you've got two good offenses and two bleh defenses.
Which is what you had playing in this game.
Which is kind of what you had.
Which is weird because Kansas City, I mean,
Chiefs have been coming in.
Chargers defense and Kansas City's defense have been pretty good in the past few weeks. They've been pretty good.
But I mean, I think both of these offenses are better than their opposing defenses for sure. So you have the better defenses. It gives the team with a better defense a real shot if you each have a series.
A shot, yeah.
But it also saying like in this game, if you've got two offenses that the defenses can't stop shit, well, I mean, what are we supposed to do? Right? How do you make that more fair? So I think that changing the overtime rule to at least a possession, if not, like you said, a full 10-minute quarter, but they're never going to change anything that's going to like really injure the, like give the players a chance for more injury.
Yeah.
Because they're already pissed off enough at the extra game without an extra bye week.
Yeah. Possibly bringing on an extra thing. But I mean, you know, I digress. So, I mean, you had the Chargers offense. So, you had Justin Herbert go 22 for 38, 236 yards, two touchdowns, interception. Patrick Mahomes aired it out. Chargers secondary couldn't stop him for anything. 31 for 47, 410 yards, three touchdowns and an interception. I mean, that's insane, right? Running on the ground basically didn't exist. I mean, Justin Jackson actually for the Chargers led the rushing, and that's a takeaway because that's usually.
I mean, the Chargers as a team had almost 200 yards rushing, while the Chiefs had 86.
Yeah.
So I mean, the Chargers could run the ball pretty well. You know, Eckler usually did his damage. in the air as well as on the ground.
Yeah.
Jackson was the more effective pure runner, but they split carries about evenly. 13 carries for Jackson.
Yeah.
12 for Eckler. Josh Kelly got in the mix a little bit. And of course, Herbert with his normal scrambling. Keenan Allen had a pretty good night. Mike Williams had a pretty good night. Did he go? I think he went to the back, right? That's who.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the big takeaway from this game actually would be the injury to Justin Parham. Tight end for the Chargers.
Yeah.
That was, for those of you not familiar, that was a scary injury. I mean, he went limp as soon as he hit the ground. And as they were bringing him off the field, you could see his arms up and he was shaking. And that's like, that's certain signs that could be like seizures and stuff like that that was taking place. So that was a scary injury. I mean, all we're really getting out now is that he's just in stable condition. Didn't really say a whole lot of what's going on, but I mean, it was, that was a scary injury. And we had another one in this week too. I mean, to Teddy Bridgewater, and we could talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is still a dangerous game, and
this hit, I mean, this wasn't a malicious hit by DB.
It was a perfectly legal hit.
Not even, I mean, it was basically self-inflicted when you look at it.
Yeah, because he dropped and then.
Because he fell straight to the ground and hit his head, and that's, he dropped the ball, hit the back of his head.
And I mean, you know, it was like falling on the ground, you know, like sometimes, like when people get knocked out, like in fights and stuff on the street, and most of the injuries don't come from getting knocked out, they come from falling.
Yeah.
And then you hit your head on the ground or on the concrete or on the curb and you crack your brain open, right? I mean, yeah, you got the helmet on, but still, that's a solid impact against the ground. And his head hit first. And I mean, it's just kind of one of those things that's like,
yeah,
you know, it reminds us that it is a dangerous game.
Yeah, let's just, you know, send out our best wishes to Parham.
Yeah.
Hopefully he can make a full recovery and get back out on there if he even wants to do that anymore. You know, but that was a scary injury. So let's just.
But he was moving his toes. He was moving his fingers. So that's all good signs there.
But since we already brought up Teddy Bridgewater, let's just go ahead and jump into that one real quick.
Yeah.
Not a lot to say about that Bengals and Broncos game. I mean, it was 15-10, right? Teddy B, while he played, you just took off the stats. He likes to click around, and it annoys the shit out of me. Teddy B was 12 for 22, 98 yards. Didn't play a whole lot, you know, because he went down. And Drew Lock came in, didn't do much better. For the rest of that game. Honestly, it was just not a very offensive game at all. I mean, you had Joe Burrow, 157 yards off of 15 completions, one touchdown. I mean, it wasn't a lot going on here, but like I said, the biggest thing off of here was another severe injury. I mean, Teddy B, another head injury, had to be carted off the field. So, I mean, it was just a weird week, you know? I mean, games are moving around.
Between all the COVID stuff and the injuries and, you know, other stuff. And, I mean, it was just another weird week. We're going to touch on that a little bit in the OT. It's going to be a short OT this week. But, I mean, if you look at the game, right? I mean, you had 12 first downs for the Bengals and 19 for the Broncos. The Broncos were able to pull off 71 plays to the Bengals 51. You know, that's a lot of plays, but not a lot of yards, not a lot of points. You know, you got Denver and Cincinnati's defenses are both pretty good, you know, like in that upper-ish. I mean, Denver's is Cincinnati's like somewhere in the middle, I believe. And it's just it was a low-scoring game. But like you said, you had the injuries, you had all this other stuff. As a person who has Jerry Jeudy shares in fantasy, look out.
Yeah,
it's not going to get better with. I'm benching all my Broncos.
Probably a good time to move on from
bench Broncos. Bench Broncos.
All right, let's grab the next game. Let's go New England and Indy.
Yeah, that was All right, so props to Indy. they figured out what to do.
Yeah, and Patriots unable to stop Jonathan Taylor. Andrew, we'll get to what you're asking here in a few after we finish up the wrap on the game. We'll get into that. Yeah, they could not stop Jonathan Taylor for anything. No. And they just rolled with it. They saw what was happening, so let's just keep it going, right?
Well, actually, Andrew, that's Jonathan Taylor. He's in the MVP race right now.
Yeah.
A running back is in probably the top five but, for the MVP race.
You know, Mac Jones, scroll down. Scroll up, I'm sorry. About to read it off. 26 for 45, 299 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Guess what? He's human.
Yeah, but I mean, that's...
It's not horrible. The 2 interceptions is probably the bigger thing. It's not Cam Newton. You know, but yeah. I mean, honestly, but it's the first week you're really looking at Mac Jones with the Patriots, and you're like, oh, crap, he's normal.
Yeah. Right?
Because, I mean, they basically had him running the way he was, you know, like a little baby Brady, you know, getting back at it. Carson Wentz, 5 for 12, 57 yards. They didn't have to throw the ball.
No, Jonathan Taylor just praying.
So I mean,
they just ran.
They figured out the game plan,
and the defense was able to get those critical takeaways in positive territory, right? So it gave them short fields. Let me see something here. Turnovers.
Yeah, 2-1.
Yeah, so you got 2-1 turnover ratio.
Colts finish +1.
Those two interceptions. I'm trying to see exactly where they are. Yeah, so both of the interceptions from him were very short. The first one was down there on 60, on 40, 30, I don't know. Anyway, so this was I enjoyed this game. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching the Colts beat the Patriots. Don't know what it is about it.
It was a good game. Colts-Patriots, it was like classic Colts-Patriot game, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, that little Manning, Brady rivalry headed back, so it's another good one. Raiders Browns, you got it up.
Yawn. This was kind of a sleeper game through the first half. It looked like Vegas was going to run away with it.
Yeah, this game took place Monday
afternoon.
Afternoon before
the Monday the night
regularly
game.
Scheduled. Yeah,
it was like 4 o'clock. I think the kickoff was 4 o'clock.
I didn't get to see this, so I was stuck at work. But
I got half of it.
Just looking at it, I mean, Cleveland destroyed by COVID, basically bought out a practice squad and still kept it close enough to.
Yeah, Nick Mullins at quarterback spot was able to do 12 for 30. Again, this is one of those things where I'm still not sold as Baker Mayfield more than a game manager at this point. No matter who you put in front of him, he always puts up the same kind of like 200-ish numbers.
Yeah, but I mean, it's
some combination of two touchdowns and an interception.
But you kind of want that. You want that steadiness, right? So you look at a quarterback that can give you that every week. If you can put a defense on the opposite side of the field that can do something with it,
yeah,
you're going to win more than you're going to lose.
Well, I mean, I think Derek Carr is kind of that. He's like, you got your middle tier guys, and then you got like Derek Carr, and then you start getting.
No, I think you got your middle tier guys, and you have Derek Carr in that middle tier.
I think Derek Carr is, honestly, if
it's Baker Mayfield or Derek Carr, they're kind of the same quarterback, just in a different uniform.
Josh Jacobs was back for this game. Didn't have a lot, 15 carries, 53 yards. Will Baker be the Browns starting QB next year? Will they move on from him, Andrew? That is a good question.
No, he's going to be the starter next year.
Yeah, I don't. Who do they replace him with?
Yeah, I don't see them making a move on from him yet.
Quarterback is going to be another very sought after position after this year,
but very thin in the draft. It's not a full position.
I haven't even done my homework yet, but the draft is
very weak on quarterbacks.
I haven't seen a lot of hype about this guy.
Yeah, I mean, unless Cleveland pulls something, a massive trade for someone, and they move Baker to get something better. I mean, that's the only possibility I see of them moving on from him. I think him and Kevin Stefanski have this thing going on, and I mean, look, Baker's hurt. I mean, no matter how you wrap it up this season, right? I know it's his non-throwing shoulder, so I get black from that. But, I mean, his ankle's down.
But he's still...
All of that still affects you. So, I think healthy Baker is better than what anything else they could put out on the other side of the field. Yeah, I mean,
look at the Raiders, right? They were short too. You know, you still don't have Darren Waller back. You lost one of your best receivers because he's an idiot and he decided to drive drunk and kill people.
Yeah.
You know, and then you've got your the coaching situation.
Yeah.
I'll just say that.
Yeah. I mean, this team is pretty much just needs to be
They're clawing at the playoffs, and I don't think they're going to make it. But here's Cleveland in the same spot. Clawing at the playoffs.
Now,
the middle of that AFC, the seven spot and the six spot are still way up in the air.
It's the same in the NFC, too, though. But as you asking about Baker not being the Cleveland Browns starting quarterback, I don't see Derek Carr being the Raiders starting quarterback.
I see him moving on to another team. Yeah, they might end up moving on from him.
So,
because that was just, I don't know who's going to be the coach next.
Which year. Look out, Saints fans, it may be in.
I am telling you, they're gonna screw Eric Bieniemy again instead of getting in the Raiders coaching spot.
Well, we'll see.
I can see it because they always lose the coach, and it's always in division with the Chiefs.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we come around. You know, honestly, we said that. I totally forgot that Gruden got fired already. I was saying that.
Where's your brain?
I was saying that. What's his name from Jacksonville? Urban Meyer was the first coach to be fired. I was wrong. It was actually John Gruden.
Well,
even though he technically stepped down,
he stepped down.
But it was
You're talking about fire for doing a shitty job. Yes, it was Urban Meyer.
Yeah, but technically John Gruden was the first. So.
So, I mean, look, here's the thing. And you've got we're on to Urban Meyer. You got the Jags again playing for that first pick. And I think Detroit's doing everything they can to get themselves out of the first overall pick.
But you see, I think Detroit's playing the way that they've been playing. And the ball's just bouncing their way now. Because Detroit should have about four more wins, right?
Oh, yeah.
When everything's said.
But, I mean, look how they play the Cardinals, right? So, we'll jump to that. 30-12 over the Cardinals, right? The Cardinals go to 10-4. They're still in contention for that second seed.
Second seed. That's pretty much sewed up by Green Bay at this point.
Yeah.
So.
And you have a Lions team that racked up 30 on them. I mean, all of a sudden, here comes Amon-Ra St. Brown for 8 receptions for 90 yards. The guys had 12 targets in 3 games in a row now.
Yeah, I mean,
they found their number one receiver, and it is Amon-Ra.
Yeah, but I mean, look at Jared Goff this week. You know, he finally played like you expected him to play. You know, 21 for 26, 216 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
High completion percentage, and no mistakes.
It's what you expected to see.
And look, Kyler Murray, you know, the game got a little bit out of hand, so they benched Kyler for Colt. 257, 1-1, touchdown interception. Chase Edmonds really couldn't get much going on the ground, only 53 yards.
James Conner, same.
Same. It's 39 yards. I mean, it's just their rushing was atrocious. Craig Reynolds over in Detroit, on the other hand, against a pretty stout Arizona front, managed 26 carries for 112 yards. So what do you do from here, right? So Christian Kirk leading the pack down there. AJ Green still looking like he's done, 4 receptions for 64. I mean, the guy's just kind of a filler receiver at this point.
Yeah.
You know, same thing with in Tennessee with Julio. You know, these guys are just they're out of gas.
They're past their prime. Exactly. They're out of gas. Yeah.
And it sucks because that's two of the guys that I always enjoyed watching a few years ago. You know, so you just hate to see him kind of go down like that, but it is what it is. Ross St. Brown was Detroit's was he their first overall pick? I think it was their second pick.
I don't remember what round but anyway, he was
good. First of all, his name is awesome.
Yeah.
Amon-Ra.
I think it was one of their first round picks. They have more than one.
I think so. But he
because I remember talking about him in our
draft. He's starting to show what he can do, and his parents are obviously like Egyptian history because that's just a cool name. Anyway, I'm gonna be looking to say Amon-Ra as many times as possible for the remainder of the year.
Yeah, I mean, that was that game, 30-12. Not a lot to write about with Arizona, but, you know, go Detroit. You're doing what you should have been doing all year.
I mean, look, they get 2 sacks, right? They get 3 tackles for a loss, 8 passes deflected, and 4 quarterback hits on Murray, right? That's good numbers.
Yeah.
Cardinals got a little bit better overall, but again, just not enough. That one interception for Detroit.
You're not going to try to say his name, but he ran it back 50 yards.
Amani Arawain.
Yep, there you go. All right, so that's it for that one. Let's just go. You want to do this one? Because I don't really care about the Vikings.
I don't care about the Vikings Bears either.
Close that shit.
We kind of expected what happened to happen.
All right, so the game we do care about. Saints 9, Tampa Bay 0. So, they were actually more first downs than punts because there was 28 first downs combined. I don't think they punted that many times. But, you know, honestly, the story of this is the Saints defense against Tom Brady.
It's just, I don't know what it is, but we have his number.
Saints constantly. Regular season defense can just make Tom Brady look.
And even postseason, we did well against him last year in the postseason. It was the offense that couldn't put the points up.
I mean, 2 interceptions. I mean, what it was, 2 turnovers, 1 interception, 1 fumble. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, I mean, that dude's game.
It comes to another level.
It's good on the field, but it is way better in trash talk. I mean, he got the interception off of Brady to end the game. You saw Brady smash the surface tablet on the sideline.
That's going on the show notes.
And Chauncey Gardner-Johnson just tweets out to Microsoft asking for if he can get a tablet to send to a friend who just broke his.
Oh, damn.
So Microsoft actually tweeted it back and said, it's not something we normally do, but you should tell your friend to take better care of their electronic devices.
Oh, trolling on Microsoft.
Basically on that, that line. So
wow.
Even though the game's over, CD Deuce is still talking shit and well worth it. But
I mean, you take it where you can, you know, when you can knock off the number two seed.
Yeah.
And hand them a loss.
So,
you know, that's
scroll up a little bit because I want to look at these stats. Okay. So here it is. Yeah. Taysom Hill, 154 yards passing off of 13 to 27. No touchdowns, no interceptions, which that's good. Right. No touchdowns at all were scored in this game.
None.
So there you go. But on the receiving portion of it, you have Marquez Callaway finally come alive. 6 receptions for 112 yards, which was basically all of our offense.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, Kamara, 11 rushes for 18 just yards.
Shut down Taysom.
Taysom, 11 rushes for 33 yards. Mark Ingram, 10 rushes.
I mean, Tampa's front is
9 for 10.
Scary. That's just a scary front. It's huge.
I mean,
it's fast. It's hard to run against these guys. And, you know, we got a little bit one-dimensional with the pass, I think.
And then on the opposite side, though, you had 118 yards combined off of Tampa Bay.
Fournette got dinged up.
Fournette left the game.
Chris Godwin is going to be out
for the
year.
Left the game. Mike Evans left the game.
I mean, it was just some hits, man. It was some tough hits. It was
a brutal game.
I've never heard of her either. But I mean, it was just a tough defensive slugfest. I did enjoy watching it. Normally, I don't enjoy these type of games, but because it's the Saints, you know, you got to do your home team.
Yeah.
And the Saints defense actually protected another Drew Brees
record. Yes.
So it is consecutive games without a shutout. That's a weird stat, but Drew Brees has 304. Tom Brady last night ended his at 255.
Right. So there's another stat that the only two quarterbacks to have never been shut out is Drew Brees and Peyton Manning. Both those quarterbacks have never participated in a shutout. They've had some score at some point.
Really?
3 points, 7 points from whatever. Maybe it didn't come from offense or whatever, but they didn't have.
Wow. Drew also shutout. Has like the most, I think, consecutive games with a touchdown. We were looking
at this. Yes, he does. Yeah.
And then Peyton Manning also holds like the most consecutive with 2 touchdowns or something like that.
Yeah. But I mean, you're talking about 3 of the greatest quarterbacks right now, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Drew Brees. They're all in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you know, I mean, these are all first ballot guys. These are including probably the greatest quarterback ever.
Yeah, we can talk as much crap about Tom as we want because
he's still the best quarterback ever to play the game. He's going to be playing until he's, I don't know, 90. He might retire in his late 80s, early 90s, maybe.
After Super Bowl 112.
Yeah, like that Call of Duty commercial ago where it's like MVP 2065 and it's Tom Brady with the gray hair.
Okay, so now that you did MVP, well, nice little segue into what we got now.
All right.
MVP, before this week, I would have said that Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers were probably in the lead for that. But I'm actually going to go off and say that with Tommy falling the way he did, I think he's going to fall out of it a little bit. Kyler Murray's falling out of it a little bit.
I mean, you still look. Patrick Mahomes is coming on at the right time to be in the MVP conversation. Tom Brady's kind of.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Allen and Justin Herbert fell off. They're out of the discussion now. So I would say it still leads up to.
Josh Allen still has a comeback and Herbert still has a comeback possible.
I think it falls down to right now you're looking at Aaron Rodgers, which I don't think he had that great of a game this week either. So maybe he fell out of it a little bit.
I mean, he's coming on at the right time of the year. You know?
Aaron Rodgers, Jonathan Taylor would be in that number.
Yeah, he's probably the only non-quarterback that's really.
And Brady is probably still in there.
It's always.
Just because it can always
go. Give me your top five.
To Brady.
Give me your top five.
I mean, I really. This one's hard because to me, it would. It's because of injuries that makes this so difficult, right?
Yeah.
So Jonathan Taylor comes up to the top of it being a non-quarterback, but only because Derrick Henry went out. If Derrick Henry was still running, we wouldn't be talking Jonathan Taylor right now.
Oh, we would be because Taylor's still going to have the season he's having, which is amazing.
All right, so I'll just throw Jonathan Taylor out there. These are in no particular order for me anyway. Jonathan Taylor, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. I would say Kyler Murray still has an outside shot. And that last one's where I have the problem. That fifth spot, because I don't really think any of those guys are deserving of it. And that would be like a tie between Josh Allen or Justin Herbert. And I don't think they're deserved to even beat. Maybe Lamar. Maybe I'm always forgetting about Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, but we'll see where he's at with his injury. I don't know. It's going to be a rough season for him.
Yeah, I mean, you got to take Dak Prescott out for injuries. Lamar has been on and off all year.
Dak's just had like three down games, so I don't think he's out. He's out.
But, I mean, that's a hard one to give me.
But, I don't disagree with that. I still think, you know, Jonathan Taylor's the only 9 quarterback, but he's in there. I'd put him, you know, maybe like 4 out of 5 or 3 out of 5.
Yeah, but with the way the league is, they're not going to give it to him.
No, but still.
They'll give him
it would be nice to
they'll give him
see.
Offensive player of the year.
Yeah.
But they won't give him
I still think MVP. You've got Mahomes, Brady, Allen, Rodgers. Mahomes, Brady, Allen, Rodgers, and
I guess
Taylor.
Okay, so if I got to name a fifth guy, I forgot about him because the way he started the season. But Patrick Mahomes,
but he's coming
he's
on.
Now.
He's
yeah.
coming on. And it matters. And then, look, you still got Mac Jones, who's probably going to be Rookie of the Year. Micah Parsons, who's going to be
Defensive Player of the Year.
He can be both Defensive Rookie of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year.
Yes.
He has the chance for that. Yes. And Diggs over there, too, has a shot.
No, Diggs doesn't. Diggs gets the interceptions, but, I mean, he loses it when it comes to actual coverage.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a high-risk, high-reward stop, right? Yeah, that's what he plays.
He started high-reward, and now he's really giving that risk up a lot these last few weeks. Right.
But, you know, that's this week 15. Who's to say? This is the week of COVID. This is the worst COVID week in the league.
Yeah.
And the league is now changing their policy.
Yeah, it forced the league to do what they said they weren't going to do, and that was move games.
Move games around. Yeah. And then, so what they decided to do with their policy is roughly change it to where they're going to stop testing asymptomatic.
Yes. But
so we're going to see big difference there. But we'll talk about that in the overtime. So we're going to move on real quick, guys. Next week's picks for week 16. Give me the 49ers over the Titans, Detroit over Atlanta. 3 in a row for Detroit. I'm calling it. Jets over Jacksonville, Chicago over the Seahawks.
Okay, I have Arizona over the Colts, Vegas over Denver, New England over Buffalo, and Dallas over the football team. Apparently, I'm
You're going two and two.
I'm feeling the home squads on this one.
You're going two and two. So we'll have that, and then of course we do our fantasy picks.
You'll get
who knows when, because dear God.
Maybe the games will take place on time this week. We'll see.
We'll see.
But yeah, I mean our dumb stupid head awards.
So stupid.
Goes to Tommy B for busting up the Surface Pro. I mean, that didn't throw the interception, man. That was you all the way. Don't be mad. You know?
I mean, look, he's allowed to get mad. You know, he's one of the fiercest competitors in the league.
You know, bullshit. And I'm calling it on it because if Antonio Brown throws a little fit because he did something, or Beckham throws a fit because he's a punk. Tom Brady does it. Oh, it's because of his passion. You know what? All those dudes.
I like them getting mad. All personally. Those guys, I love players getting mad.
You know, all those guys like, have passion for the game and they
get the
do
fire,
it.
Fire, yeah.
Call it like it is. If you're going to call it one way for one, it's the same way for the other one.
He should be the one that's like the most level-headed because of his experience.
He should be, but he's not. So,
you know, even the best get pissed.
And thank you, Chancey Gardner-Johnson, for being the trash talking man you are. You know, us from the Who Dat Nation, we love you.
We're posting that, City Deuce. We're posting that because it's beautiful.
All right,
peace out, everyone.